Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus.
Well, good morning, everybody. How's Edenvale? 8:30. There's so much faith in the house this morning. Could you feel it? Turn to the person next to you and just say, was it you? Was that faith you? Chef, coming up quick. Kristen was talking about Chef. This is Chev, a.k.a. the Chevinator. Chev loves everybody in the church, but she especially loves people who are wanting to get plugged in. If you're new and you haven't connected into the Thrive community, she will be the person who will meet you at the 10:30 service in the room down the way, and she'll show you where to go and just go to the info desk, or she'll meet you online on Tuesday evening for Move Forward. So we've got both a physical online, physical Move Forward, which is the first option, and an online Move Forward as well. And Chev is married to Manny. Manny, where are you? Smile. Yeah. There you go. You see, when you've got a Ghanaian guy with a black wall, he just needs to smile so you can see his teeth. Thanks, Chev. You all good? I landed yesterday after 30 hours of travel in the air, so I'm very much jet lagging at the moment. Can we have an agreement today? Will you help a brother out here? So the better you respond, maybe I'll get through this message. I'm operating on no sleep at the moment, so it's Lucozade, Grace, and coffee at the moment. How many of you are ready for the word? Are you ready for a new series? We called it Possibilities. Possibilities. Jesus spoke a lot about possibilities, and the burden, the anchor text, like the heart of this series, all throughout October, is Mark 9:23. Anything is possible if a person believes. Anything's possible. So come, let's pray together. Father, in these moments, we give these moments to you. And Holy Spirit, we pray that as we sit shoulder to shoulder, as we've enjoyed a time of communion around the table with each other, we pray that your Spirit would speak to us, a living word, a word that's alive, a word that's personal, a word that lifts our faith, a word that stretches our gaze, a word that deepens our faith. I pray that you would speak not only a living word, but a revelatory word. I pray, Lord, that it would be an impartation into our spirits. Lord, that we wouldn't hear words this morning, we'd hear your heart. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Perhaps to start, a question. And this is my question to you as much as it is a question to myself. What are you hoping is possible or might be possible in your life and for your life? What are you hoping the possibilities for your life would be? What are your hopes? What are your dreams? What are you wondering? What are you imagining? What are you hoping might be possible for your life, for your kids? Perhaps it's to find the husband or wife that you've been longing for. Perhaps it's to marry again after a failed marriage or the death of a spouse. Perhaps you're hoping to make enough money to give your kids the opportunities that you want them to have and that you never had. Perhaps your hope is not to struggle like your parents did. Perhaps your hope is to get a good matric, to lose the weight, to make more friends, to overcome an addiction, to find meaningful work, for your children to love Jesus and to move towards him. Maybe your hope is for your life to really matter, for you to do something meaningful and significant. Maybe your hope is to be able to have a good holiday. Maybe your hope is for God to speak to you more. Maybe your hope is to pursue a passion that you have in your heart and pursue that as a living. Maybe your hope is for God to use you in ministry. What are you hoping is possible in your life, because we all have things that we're hoping might be possible, hey? There was a man in Scripture who had a hope for his son, a desperate hope for his son. He had a hope that there would be a possibility that his son would be able to live free of the thing that was afflicting him. His son was held captive by a demon, and this man desperately hoped that his son could find freedom. Our text today is going to be in Mark chapter 9, and we'll get to Mark 9:23, which is, as I say, the heartbeat behind this series. It'll be on the screens. When they returned to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd surrounding them, and some teachers of religious law were arguing with them, arguing with the disciples. When the crowd saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with awe, and they ran to greet him. "What's all this arguing about?" Jesus asked. Almost like a parent walking in on his kids, eh? One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, "Teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He's possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever this spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth, grinds his teeth, and becomes rigid." You can just see the picture. Hey, this boy's he's under duress. "So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it." Jesus said to them, "You faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought the boy, but when the evil spirit saw Jesus, he knew his time was coming to an end. It threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth, almost like an Italian football player. Amen? "How long has this been happening?" Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, "Since he was a little boy." Sheesh, man. "The spirit often throws him into the fire or into water, trying to kill him." Sometimes we read scriptures clinically or mechanically. Can you put yourself in this man's shoes? Imagine that was your son or your daughter. Gosh, no wonder he was desperate. He says, "Have mercy on us and help us if you can." "What do you mean, if I can?" Jesus asked. "Anything is if a person believes." The father instantly cried out, "I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief." It's one of the most intriguing statements in Scripture. I think it's one of the most honest statements. I love it because it holds such a lot in tension. When Jesus saw that the crowd of onlookers was growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. He didn't want the crowd together. He's like, "Let's get this done. Listen, you spirit that makes the boy unable to hear and speak, I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again." Then the spirit screamed and threw the boy into another violent convulsion and left him. The boy appeared to be dead. A murmur ran through the crowd as people said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, helped him to his feet, and he stood up. Afterward, when Jesus was alone in the house with his disciples, they asked him, "Why couldn't we do it?" Jesus replied, "This kind can only be cast out by prayer." This dad was hoping for the possibility of freedom for his son. Instead, all he encountered was a closed door, a shut door of impossibility. Today, this is going to be the door of impossibility. And what to do when the door of impossibility slams shut in your face repeatedly, as it did for this man. The disciples couldn't get the job done. The religious leaders didn't want the job done. And the problem wouldn't budge. Like, it wouldn't move. The door would not open. Ever been in a place where it simply won't budge? This demon had possessed him and afflicted him, and it would not budge. This series is about possibilities and what can happen when God breaks into a situation that has been stuck and not budging for ages. Have you ever been there? The pregnancy you so desperately want doesn't seem to be happening. The spouse you're looking for doesn't show up like the FedEx guy on your doorstep. The addiction just won't leave. you find it hard to make friends or keep in good health or find joy in your life. Impossibility, this is the thing that I pray that the Spirit of God will impart something into us today, is that you and I can settle, if we're not careful, we can settle for a false theology that says God is the author of closed doors. And we see clearly in this text that it was the enemy of his soul that was keeping the door of impossibility closed. Are you with me? Sometimes, church, we just need to stop and acknowledge, not give him any glory, not spend a lot of time on him, but sometimes we have to stop, acknowledge the fact that we have an enemy of our soul who hates us. He hates you. He hates your children. He hates your life. He hates it when you find joy. He hates it when a door of opportunity opens. He wants to keep you small. He wants to keep you afflicted. He wants to keep you constricted. He wants to keep you in pain. He wants to keep you under his thumb. He wants to keep the door of possibility slammed shut. And this is what's going on with this dad and with this son. Now, Jesus in this text, we see that there are two keys. Got more on this one just because they're so epic. Straight away, Jesus offers us two keys to unlock the door of impossibility. The first key is faith. Notice with me that the first thing Jesus references as he comes on the scene, he says, what's all this going on? They explain to him. And then what does he say? You faithless people. What's the first concept out of his mind and out of his mouth? Faith. In other words, when Jesus sees somebody who's got a door of impossibility slammed in their face, what's the first thing he brings to the surface? Faith is also the thing that brought the man and the son to Jesus. What is faith? Hebrews 11:1. It's the definition of faith. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for, and it's the evidence of the things we cannot yet see. In other words, faith is living in the space that we hope for. He had faith that his son could be free. Jesus knew faith was the key that was going to unlock this door. The first key is faith. Now, what is faith? We've been through the definition of it. It's the evidence of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Okay. Faith is a spiritual gift. You cannot conjure up faith, you and I. We can't muster it up. You can't right now and say, you can't will it into being, and neither can I. You can't leave church today and say, I'm going to have more faith. Because it is a spiritual gift given by the Father to his children. What you and I can do is we can say, give me more faith. Father, give me faith. Or help my unbelief like the Father in this. Where does faith come from? It comes from the Father. It comes from sitting under the Word of God. Yeah. Romans 10:17, look at it, it'll be on the screen. Consequently, faith comes from what? Hearing. Okay, I'm jet lagged, you got to help. Faith comes from?
Hearing.
Hearing what? The message. In other words, God's Word. Yeah. Yeah. And the message is heard through the Word about Christ. In other words, every time you and I are in this family together, every time you're shoulder to shoulder, sitting shoulder to shoulder and under God's Word, faith is built. You might not feel like it's like going to the gym and you have a gym session and you sweat that day, but yeah, it doesn't look like the biceps are getting any bigger. But over time, they are. Are you with me? Where do you get faith from? This community. Where do you get faith from? Life group. Where do you get faith from? Every day, silence, solitude, scripture, a few minutes in your Bibles, in God's Word. That's where it comes from. What is faith? It's the evidence of things hoped for and things not yet seen. What is it? It's a spiritual gift. Where do you get it? From hearing God's word, from being under God's word. Now, let's just take a little quick short lift here. Jesus does something quite remarkable and something very empathetic. Because as this whole scene is going on, and he's kind of going, how long has this been going on? And then the whole story gets going. He asks the question, how long has this been happening? Jesus could have got to it straight away and just gone, you know what? Let's just heal the thing. But he takes a moment to speak to the Father. And the reason for that, I believe, is because he cared about the struggle. And so he gives this man space to say, you know, it's been happening for ages. He gives this man space to tell Jesus, like what Pastor Mark was referencing for us, to tell Jesus about how terrible this has been. Jesus wants to hear the struggle. Jesus is not interested in a hyper faith. Put on your best smile, pretend everything's cool. Jesus wants to, so he opens the door for the man to say, tell me about your struggle. Notice what the man does. He goes into all the detail. He says, been happening since he was a little boy, and throws him into the fire and tries to drown him. And just a little side note there to show you the empathy of Jesus. And then this fascinating exchange continues between the dad and his son. Mark 9, 22, 24. Let's go to it quickly. He says, have mercy on us and help us if you can. Okay, it's this if you can that causes the interest here. What, Jesus picks up on it straight away. He goes like, hey, what do you mean if I can? Anything's possible if a person believes. Father instantly cried out, I do believe, but help my unbelief. Yeah. Ever felt like that? Yeah. God, I do believe, but I doubt. Yeah. God, I do believe, but the waiting is horrible. Yeah. Here's the thing. I want to read this to you. He did believe in Jesus' power. After all, why would he have brought him to Jesus? Okay. But he also recognized his doubts. So he tearfully pleads with Jesus, Lord, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief too. He did not deny God's promises. He eagerly desired them. And actually, help me overcome my unbelief is actually a statement made by a person who is in possession of faith. Because if you've got no faith, you can't even recognize that that's a question worth asking. Charles Spurgeon said this, listen to it, it's this fascinating quote. While men and women have no faith, they are unconscious of their unbelief. But as soon as they get a little faith, then they begin to be conscious of the greatness of their unbelief. What I want to say to you is if you've got doubts and if you've ever prayed like that, Father, Lord, help my unbelief, you're in good company. You're with every person that God's used in Scripture, and every person that God's used in history has always had, you know how many times Mother Teresa doubted? She had one encounter with Jesus, and she spent the rest of her days wondering, is this really what you want me to do? Please don't ever feel condemned or bad or guilty or like you haven't got it just because you say, help my unbelief. Notice, this guy's belief was enough for Jesus to get the job done. Because notice what Jesus says. He says, anything's possible if what? If a person. He didn't say anything's possible and I can do it regardless. He said, if a person believes. And then he goes and gets the job done, which means that the person believed. The Father believed. He had enough faith for Jesus to work with. Are you tracking with me? All right, so the first key is faith. How do we get it? Give you three thoughts. Desire it. Ask God for it. If you recognize the extent of your unbelief, you're in good company and you're on the right track. Number two, position yourself for it. Get under God's word. Not once a month, not twice a month, not three times a month. Every week of the month, every week in life group, every day of your life in Scripture, get yourself under God's word, because the more you're under his word, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And number two, exercise it. Do something with it. Do something with it. How do you grow your faith? Exercise it. What did this guy do? He brought his son to Jesus. And when Jesus starts to ask him, hey, how's this all been working and what's been going on? He tells the story and he goes, listen, I've got a bit of faith. I feel very honest about it. I've got a lot of unbelief as well. But he exercised his faith. Listen, whatever the area of breakthrough is that you're wanting, can I encourage you to exercise some faith? I feel like some people, their finances are kind of holding you small. And it's like there's a shut door of impossibility. Ask God for faith and then start to be generous. Give your way out of your constricting closed door of possibilities. Exercise some faith. People think the way out of a financial hole is to hoard. The way out of a financial hole is to be generous with faith and with hope and deciding, exercising your faith muscle. If you're looking for a spouse, exercise your faith muscle. Get your CV out there. You got to start a conversation. You got to make a call. You got to swipe. Which way? Is it swipe right? All you Tinderites. Are you with me? So, even in worship, felt so strong for financially. There's a couple of folks here. You're feeling like it's just been a shut door. The counterintuitive way of the gospel is to give your way out of difficulty. Okay, first key is? First key is? Next key, Jesus goes on to cast the demon out. The boy is set free. The man and his dad leave with all kinds of new possibilities for his life. And then the disciples come to Jesus later and they go, Jesus, can we have a little team talk? Yeah. Kind of turn their back on everybody and like, I'm like, why is it we couldn't get the job done? And Jesus says something very profound. Very, very profound. He says, this kind can only be cast out by prayer. Some translations say prayer and fasting. The second key to opening the door of impossibility, the second key that will open this is prayer. And can I say prayer and fasting? There are some things, hear me today, please. There's some things that can only be moved in the spiritual. This was a demon that was holding this boy captive. And he was going, no, if you want to win this kind of battle, you got to wear this kind of armor. Is there a door of impossibility that's closed in your face that the Lord is prompting you today to open with the key of prayer and fasting? I'm talking here about costly prayer. I'm talking about on our knees. I'm talking about uncomfortable fasting. Here's the question: how badly do you want it? Are you willing to put yourself through no food for a couple of days? Are you willing to cast aside the comfort? Are you willing to wake up at midnight and pray for an hour? Yeah. I'm asking you the question, how badly do you want it? Some stuff doesn't move with nice, comfortable, kosher, easy, pray 5 minutes in my car on the way to work. Some stuff needs knee work. I want to invite us as a congregation this week on Wednesday. Everybody say Wednesday. How do you know it's Wednesday? Because it's Wacky Wednesday at Steers. It's what?
Whopper Wednesday.
Okay. And that's precisely what we're not going to be eating, because we're going to fast. You see why I chose Wednesday? Because it would be the easiest day for you to go to Burger King. If you want breakthrough, we're going to collectively, I'm inviting us, I'm in asking us to come and pray together on a Wednesday. Not to the church or anything. Just take your day and deprive yourself of some food. Wake up and have a smoothie or a yogurt or something, and then that's it. And feel the hunger pangs. Pray like crazy every time you feel them. And ask God to open the door of impossibility. Because the interesting thing was, when faith and when prayer were coupled together, that door opened. Are you with me? I love the saying. Check this out, John Wesley. God does nothing but by prayer, and everything with it. Take a picture of that and let that hold you on Wednesday. God does nothing but by prayer, and he does everything with it. On the screen, there'll be a picture of a coniferous forest. This is a geography term that I learned from Caitlin's grade six. It's a fancy word for pine trees. If you're from the East End, you just go, it's a pine tree. Okay. Those pine trees work well in the cold climate because the pine needles are thin, and so the snow falls off of them. If you had trees in cold climates with massive big leaves, the snow would collect and it would break the leaf. Yeah. You're with me. The next picture will be the picture of an Amazon forest or a tropical forest or a rainforest. The trees that grow in that rainforest are very different to the coniferous ones. Would you agree? Yeah. The reason is, what's the job there? The job there of those leaves is to trap the water. As the water falls, it falls on broad leaves and it enables the trees to soak up the water that they so desperately need. My point is that different trees grow in different atmospheres. Can I suggest to you that possibilities grow in an atmosphere of faith and prayer? Possibilities grow in an atmosphere of faith and prayer. What we're going to start doing as a church from today onwards is, after the service, we're going to have a team of people up every Sunday after the service. If you want to come and just pray. This is if you want somebody to put their hand on your shoulder, just be with you and pray. This is not a substitute for our prayer in the week. This is not a substitute for our knee work in the week. It's not a substitute for our prayer and fasting. But what we are going to do is we're going to bathe every atmosphere of our lives in prayer. Yeah. And so we want to give you, everybody, anybody, just after the service, the team will just play nice and quiet up front, or the music will be nice and soft. And there'll just be a space and an atmosphere of prayer for you to just pray. Maybe you've got something coming up in the week. The point is, possibilities grow in atmospheres of faith and prayer. You're all tracking with me? Yes. Let's take a moment and let's pray. Worship team, I think we're going to stay and we won't play. We're going to just chill. I'm going to ask you, maybe I'm going to give you the gift of silence now. Maybe this is the first moment in your week you would have had some silence. And I'm going to offer you the gift of silence right now to digest what the Lord might be saying to you. Thank you. One of the most powerful things we can do in our weeks is to find a few moments of silence and solitude to read scripture. Church, you know, our souls need it more than what we could ever have thought. Holy Spirit, please have your way with us now. Please have your will. Come on, take a moment with me, and just those of you who want to ask God, you're like that dad in the story, you know? I do believe, but help my unbelief. If that's the prayer in your heart right now, can I ask you just, where you are, slip up your hand. Say, that's me. I want that, you know? That's my honest, yeah, so many of us. So many of us. So many. Those of you who want to ask God in this moment for the gift of faith. Remember, it's a spiritual gift given by his father to kids. If you're in this moment, if you're asking God for more faith, the spiritual gift of faith, slip up your hand. Lots of us. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, Lord, we ask you for more faith. Those of you who are going to commit yourself to praying and fasting on Wednesday, this morning, slip up your hands. Those of you deciding, you know what, listen, this door has to open. I'm opening this door. I'm not normally this particular and this specific, but I feel really a strong sense for us this week. A food fast, not a TV fast, not a social media fast, not a coffee fast, not a cigar fast. A food fast. Pick a meal, two meals. Ask yourself, how badly do I want it? That's how much you're going to fast. Okay, lots of hands. Lots. That's awesome. Lots. Wow. Awesome. Father, you've seen every request, every hand. And Lord, I ask, church, come on, will you join me with some faith in this moment? Lord, we ask that you would honor the prayers that are going to be prayed, the possibilities that are going to be unlocked. Father, thank you for testimony after testimony after testimony, story after story after story of what you're going to do. I thank you that it's our faith put into practice, exercised, trained, done something with it, coupled with our prayer, our fasting, and your goodness, God, which unlocks the doors of impossibility. I'm going to ask for every head bowed and eye closed. And I want to take a moment and just invite anybody this morning who has never said yes to Jesus. Guess what? Faith and prayer are also the two keys that we use to come to Jesus, to give him our lives. What am I saying? I'm saying to make a decision to follow him. Making a decision to follow Jesus is not some expectation that he's a ticket to heaven. Making a decision to follow Jesus is a decision to learn to be with him in his scriptures and in his texts and in his life, to become like him, and to do what he did. Making a decision to follow Jesus is not a one-way ticket to heaven. It is the promise of eternal life, but it's also to make him Lord of our lives here on earth. It's to put our lives in his hands and say, God, would you take them? Would you take my life? Would you mold it, shape it, do with it what you want to do? And so if that's you this morning, it's my invitation to you today to say yes to him. And when I'll just do a quick count to three in just a moment or two. I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand nice and high. This is a moment between you and God. Our church creates space every week because we believe this is such an important thing. Everybody who Jesus encountered responded to him in some way. So we never want to leave the church without an opportunity to respond to him. So if that's you and you feel like the Spirit of God in this moment is prompting you to give your life to Jesus, well, I'm going to ask you on the count of three, slip up your hand. I'm going to see you. I'm going to say thank you, and I'm going to pray.
I'm not going to call you up front. I'm not going to do anything weird. I'm simply going to say, thank you. And I want to see you so I can honor you, so I can know who I'm praying for. Ready? On the count of three. Here we go. One, two, three. Hands up. Yes, thank you. Thank you. So many. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you down the side. Those of you who have responded this morning, thank you. You can take your hands down. I'm going to pray this prayer now. I'm just trying to offer you some language to hang your heart on right now. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. God, thank you from the very first moment of worship this morning, right through to Pastor Mark's leading us in communion. Your Spirit has been so present, so tangible. Thank you. Thank you for every hand raised, every person, every life that's made a decision to respond this morning. Thank you for that. Right now, each one of them, Father, we ask for your forgiveness. Where we've gone wrong, we repent, we turn, we take a 180-degree turn. We ask, Holy Spirit, come now and fill their lives. Each one, fill them in the name of Jesus. Thank you that as we put our faith in you, Jesus, you are the very best Lord, the very best Master of our lives. You are the author and the perfecter of our faith. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
we hope you have been blessed and helped by this message. For more information about our church, visit our website at www.thrivechurch.co.za.